morning. I think all of you know that we are very privileged this morning to have Dr. Charles Woodrow. He drove all the way from Mozambique to be with us today. I don't know how he got across the ocean, but he did, and we're thankful. And I don't know what he has to say, but I'm going to turn it over to him. So let me pray first, and then we'll turn it over to Dr. Charles. Father, we ask you to guide and direct and be with us this morning. May we accomplish your will and your purposes. We thank you that you're with us always. Oh, gracious Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we honor him in everything that is done to the praise of his glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I just want to say before I get started, it's a real pleasure to be with Grace Bible Chapel again today. See many faces that go way back, 25 years, I think, before this congregation or this church was actually founded. And a lot of new faces. I've noticed through the prayer information that gets sent out through the pastor that a lot of the names I don't recognize anymore. And I thought this would happen. I'm here and I think about more than half the people I haven't met before. So anyway, I'm glad to be with you. I'll be talking about our ministry in Mozambique in a few minutes. I just want to also extend our greetings from my family and my wife. She was planning to be with us when we were in San Antonio, but the meeting that we had yesterday with Grace Missions was originally scheduled for next weekend. And so she made plane reservations this weekend to be with her family in Nevada. And when we changed the dates, it was too late to make any changes. So she's sorry she's not with you today and sends her greetings. And I do want to say how appreciative I am of the faithfulness of this congregation down through the years, holding fast to the gospel of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ all these years. And much appreciate being able to come back to friends and know that I'm not going to find everything's been changed over the past term on the field. And then secondly, I also want to say how grateful I am for your faithfulness in praying for us and supporting us and being involved in our ministry in Mozambique for the last 27 years. Now, because I recognized that I was going to be speaking to people I figured that didn't know too much about the history of Mozambique, I want to divide my presentation into two parts. The first 8 minutes or so are going to be pictures of a review of our ministry down through 27 years, and then the rest of it will be updates. So let me get started here. For those of you who don't know us, the Woodrows, my wife, myself, and my five kids, we've been serving as missionaries in Mozambique, Africa for the past 27 years. We serve in Nampula in the north of Mozambique. Let me turn my... Let me see. I should be set to go. Here we go. It was working before we started. Okay, so we're in the province and the city of Nampula in the northern part of Mozambique. It's the second largest city of the nation with a population of 800,000 people, and it's the economic and cultural hub for the entire northern half of the country. The work started out as a medical evangelistic ministry carried on from a 150-bed government hospital, which you see here. And I was the only doctor most of the 8 years that I served there. Then after 8 years, the Ministry of Health authorized Grace Missions to build and operate its own mission hospital, which was finally completed in 2012. It's a beautiful facility, which ended up costing a total of $1 million when you include all the other buildings on the Grace Missions complex. Medical evangelism, which was begun back in 1990, soon led to a church plant, which was started in 1993 by 9 men in the local area who had been evangelized and who had responded to the gospel and then been discipled for 1 to 3 years. But the hospital served people who came from all of Mozambique's northern five provinces. And we were concerned about patients outside our local area who responded to our admonition to learn more about Christ so they could come to believe in Him and be saved through faith, and then would return home to churches in their local areas that at that time almost all preached the gospel of salvation through works, which was no different really from the Roman Catholic preaching, or Islam for that matter. And so in response to many prayers in the year 2000, after we'd been on the field 10 years, God enabled us to inaugurate the first annual Fiel Pastors Conference in Nampula, Fiel being the Portuguese word for faithful. And for the last 18 years, church leaders from scores of different denominations in all of the nation's 10 provinces have been participating in those conferences. Attendance recently has ranged from 280 to 330 church leaders. Only leaders are allowed to attend because we can't open it up to everybody, and then their wives also. The purpose of these conferences is to encourage these leaders in their labors for Christ, to help equip them for ministry, and particularly to acquaint them with the rich legacy left the church by the Reformation fathers, especially the doctrines of grace and the five solas of the Reformation. Well, from the first, one of the strong draws bringing these men from far-flung places throughout the country has been the opportunity to buy excellent Christian literature. In recent years, we've imported $30,000 worth of books every year, which we're allowed to buy from excellent publishing houses in Brazil for half of what their cover price is, and then we make them available to the leaders at our conferences for half of what we pay in order to make the books affordable to them. In 2003, we opened a Christian bookstore so these books could be available year-round. You see the sign on the main street of downtown Nampula, says Biblioteca Fiel. That means faithful book room. The Lord gave us an excellent location for the first 10 years of our ministry. But after the hospital was built, we moved the bookstore to the mission property, which is also an advantageous position in the city because it's on the main highway passing through Nampula. To my knowledge, the Biblioteca Fiel was only one of two Christian bookstores in the entire country when it was started, with the next nearest one being over 1,000 miles away. So we were thankful to be able to meet a great need for excellent Christian literature. And I've always been thankful that there were so few Christian bookstores in Mozambique, in the sense that almost everybody who gets their hands on Christian literature has to buy it from us. And so we get to be the gatekeepers of what's available for the evangelical church leaders to read and study. In an attempt to accelerate even further the dissemination of the true gospel among the churches in Mozambique, in 2005 we began offering an intensive 6-day seminar on systematic theology for church leaders who could stay on after the 4-day Fiel conference ended each year. And to date, over 200 church leaders have participated in the seminar. Perhaps half of the men have truly been helped, and some have even experienced the profound change in their whole understanding that takes place with regard to the gospel, with regard to the Bible, with regard to our relationship with Jesus Christ, when a person comes to truly comprehend the things that we've been teaching in that seminar. Andre Kazitu was one of those men back in 2010, and Ibrahimu Hamidu in this picture was another in 2012. Ernesto Valoy was another in 2016, and I mention these men because you'll be hearing a little more about them in terms of what's happening recently in Mozambique when I get to that part of the presentation. I also mention them because these three men, together with Tamatu Bila, formed the nucleus of an indigenous Christian association called Mission Ecclesia, established by men from four different denominations now, to bring Reformation to the evangelical churches of Mozambique. Through the activities of Mission Ecclesia, which these men are carrying out in their own way, but preaching the same doctrines, the same truth, the same biblical gospel that this church adheres to, My involvement in Mozambique has developed into a new stage. I still continue all of my former ministries, but after 27 years, I find myself spending more and more time cheering on the work of Mozambicans who are carrying out the same ministry in their own fashion. And this is one of Mission Ecclesia's weekend seminars held at the Grace Mission compound, using all of the facilities that you all have provided for the mission, which are now available for them to use, as well as all the equipment that we use to carry on our own ministries. Mission Ecclesia has also established several reading circles, like this one, where men receive one free book every month, provided that they've read the previous month's book and have participated actively in the monthly meeting held to discuss the contents of the book. And I didn't come prepared to tell you all the names of them, but they studied these classics from the Reformation, Martin Luther's Bondage of the Will and John Owen's Mortification of Sin, books by J.C. Ryle, J.I. Packer, John MacArthur. And to date, the men in this particular study group, they have several ones, but the men in this one have read over 40 excellent books of this quality through the ministry of Mission Ecclesia. And I will mention that these men now, in addition to the seminars that they're leading, are also producing periodical journals. And I'll pass some of these around. I'd like you to leave them on the seats so that I can gather them up later. It's all in Portuguese, so unless you understand Spanish, it's not going to be helpful to you. But you can see the quality of the work that these men are producing in their efforts to get the true gospel, the biblical gospel, out to other churches in Mozambique. It's a work that we're very privileged to be involved with. And I only participate in the form of helping to support. Grace Missions publishes these books, but they do all the content themselves. Well, all of that has been review of the past, and now I want to start the update of recent events. First of all, our family continues to shrink down from 7 people. These were a picture of our family back in 7 years ago. And then we got pared down to 6 people, and then 5, and then 4. And finally, today, there's only 3 of us left in Mozambique: my son, Benaiah, wife, Julie, and myself. Our oldest son, Kent, just as an update on what's happening with all the kids, has been married to Anna for 3 years now. She's the daughter of a pastor, and he'll be graduating from Covenant Seminary in St. Louis in 2 weeks. They've been praying about the Lord's leading and returning to Mozambique to minister for at least an 18-month term. And it's still a little bit too early to know for certain, but it does appear increasingly probable, most likely, that the Lord is leading them to come back to Mozambique. So we're looking forward to their participation if that continues to materialize. Please pray that the Lord will guide them clearly, as they will need to make a decision soon. Let's see if I can work this. Yes, I want to talk a little bit about Sarah now. She's our second child. She graduated from Covenant Seminary 2 years ago with a degree in psychology, which she wanted to use to open opportunities for Christian social service. And then she went to Montana and did an internship for 1 year with a Christian organization involved in social services. She has remained in Montana for an additional year, but she's not finding work in the area that she wanted to do. So she's doing odd jobs. So we'd appreciate prayers for her that the Lord would lead her to either her future ministry in the home as a wife and helpmeet and homemaker for a husband, or in an area of her career choice, which is social services carried out by Christians. Andrew is the next one down over here, and he graduates in a couple of weeks from Union University, and he's had a steady girlfriend for the last year or so, and it's looking like marriage is inevitable, at least to human reason, but they're having to wait for the Lord to arrange all the circumstances. She's a fine Vietnamese gal, real sweet Christian, also the daughter of missionaries to China who have experienced lots of persecution in China and Malaysia down through the years. They don't know the meaning of the word nominal Christians in that part of the world. So we're thankful that God has directed him this way, and he is pursuing a degree, which he'll receive in a couple of weeks, in digital media communications, and will be looking for a job soon. So I'm praying for him also. The next one down would be Gracie, and she's in her finishing up her third year. She's a rising senior at Covenant College, majoring in community development. She's our Mozambican. She's truly Mozambican by nationality. She comes back home every summer to Mozambique to work and minister there. She's always been more of a missionary, I think, than I have been. Plugged in with wonderful relationships with so many people, and her heart is really with the Mozambican people. And so she's going to be back there again this summer doing an internship in community development, which is her major. And so that finally leaves Benaiah all alone at home with mom and dad. We're real thankful for him. I don't know what's going to happen when we lose all of our kids, because he's also very plugged in to the life of all the young people in Mozambique and our own church, and also is the leader of the International Missionary Youth Fellowship in Nampula. And this is a picture of all of his expatriate friends from Brazil, Portugal, Germany, all around the world, amongst the international missionary community in Mozambique. He's the leader of the youth group there. So we still get to be very much involved with young activities. It keeps Julie young. I don't know if it helps me any, but she is a favorite hostess for a lot of their retreats and sleepovers and special events. In the church work, the past year has been especially blessed for us. We've always been a small congregation. As quickly as people come to salvation, other people move on to other geographical areas of the country. So for a long time, for many, many years, we hovered around 20, 25 members. But in the past year, we have been blessed with 8 baptisms. And 5 were people who have basically grown up in the church and finally wanted to make a public confession of their faith at about the same time. But 3 were new conversions, 2 of which were especially striking and exciting to hear about when they came to the attention of the church leaders. This young woman here was in a local charismatic church and was scheduled to be baptized in that congregation. But she was sleeping with one of the young men in the church, which is not at all unusual in Mozambican churches. But her conscience would not allow her to go through with the baptism. It also caused her to confess her lifestyle to her uncle, who she much respected and who was a member of our church. And he told her that to find the help that her soul needed, she must come under the sound of the true gospel. And he recommended that she attend our congregation. So she started visiting. And after just a few Sundays, the Lord met her during one of the preaching sessions when Timothy Bila was preaching. God enabled her to see the way to cast her sins and herself upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And she was filled with joy. When she talked to the leaders later, she said it was the first time in many years that she had ever felt clean. She became an ardent and enthusiastic follower of Christ. Her parents were alarmed when they saw that she was so enthusiastic now about Christianity, but it was coming through a non-Pentecostal church. And so eventually they insisted that she return to their congregation. This grieved her, but part of her new life in Christ was submission to her parents, which was not something that characterized her before salvation. So she did as they asked, but she could never find the joy at her former church that she had with us. Her parents were impressed with her submission to them, which again was something new, and the overall transformation that they saw clearly had taken place in their daughter. And so her very parents decided after a period of time that they wanted her to come back and be with us. And it was shortly after returning to our congregation that she asked to be baptized and sat down with the leaders and told us the testimony that I just shared with you. And as you can imagine, we were really excited to hear a true, genuine work of God's grace in the life of somebody that walked in out of the darkness and found the light of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ through the preaching of men in our congregation. Not me, but other men who God has gifted to carry on this sort of ministry. Here are some of the other girls in the church posing with Julie on the steps of our home during a special girls' retreat weekend. They were studying the Bible's teaching on the virtuous woman. Julie was one of the teachers, and she is mama, spiritual mama, to almost all the young people in our congregation. This weekend was one of several that has been organized by Ansha, That's Ancha is Achilles's. Whoops! I didn't want to do that. Punching the wrong buttons. Ancha, right here, is Achilles' sister, and also the daughter of Arnaldo. Those of you who've been following the ministry for 27 years, all of his children are rock solid pillars in the work of the Lord. And Ancha has an important ministry to these girls, many of whom she taught back in the days when they were children in Sunday school, which Julie turned those responsibilities over to Ancha. Julie was the original teacher. Several of the young men in the church have joined with another friend to establish a multi-church association called UIFEC. The initials say in Portuguese that their purpose is to evangelize outside the church and to promote excellent Christian music inside the church. And these twin concerns arise from the fact that in general, the evangelical churches preach works salvation instead of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and his substitutionary atonement for sinners. And the singing in Africa, at least in our country, while being very enthusiastic and excellent with harmony and syncopation and so forth, is most of the time almost devoid of biblical content. And these are members of UIFEC at a weekend event where they asked me to teach some of the new members in their organization the doctrines of grace for the benefit of those who still needed to get a better grasp of that. These are a couple of many songs written and performed by members of UIFEC, and I've shared this with you in the past. It's hard to read, but I'll read through one of them quickly. I translated it line by line into English, and I tried to keep the rhyme and meter. But just as an example, I'll read the second one. Unto thee, O my Lord, do I cry. If you should reject, I must die. O give unto me your salvation. In sin and perdition I lie. Receive me, dear Christ, O receive me, condemned in great sin though I be. Believing you died for poor sinners, I cast myself wholly on thee. Fast bound by the chains fast bound by the chains of its sin, my fainting heart unto thee groans. Cleanse me, O Lord, would you cleanse me, and welcome me into your home. O Lord, how I long to be perfect, but weakness within makes me faint. 'Tis you who alone can save wretches, through love transform sinner to saint. So these are good words that they come up with. None of this, maybe I'll accept Christ one day, but humbly coming to him, asking for him to accept another sinner. And I know I've shared this a few years ago. This is not new for those of you who've been around, but we're very thankful to see the Lord putting it in the hearts of these people to try to establish Christian music that has content to it and that is biblical and that is Christ-centered. Here is one of UIFEC's weekend seminars held for the youth of many different congregations throughout Mozambique. And the speakers at the seminar were leaders of UIFEC themselves and the founders of Mission Ecclesia. Once again, my role is simply to cheer them on and provide them with the conference venue and all of the equipment to carry on their own ministry, their own way, to the young people of Nampula. So they're using, of course, all the materials that we've provided for the conferences, FIEL conferences, to host their own conferences. You've had the opportunity to get acquainted. Oh, let me see if I can't do this. This will be good if it works. Just let you hear a little bit of music. This is the UIFEC people holding an evangelistic crusade in some of the mud hut neighborhoods around Nampula. You'll hear just a little bit of the music, African-style music. Oh, sorry, we don't have the audio. Okay, well, you won't get to hear the music. But African syncopation, African harmony. Mm-hmm. they'll do is they'll be singing these songs and gathering the multitudes together to find out what's all this is going on. And then they'll preach the gospel after they get a good crowd. Now, you've had the opportunity to get to know Achilles, and I didn't know for sure if he had a chance to show you pictures of his wife, so I thought I'd slip her in here. This is Sakina, Achilles' wife, and of course, as you know, they've got their first child, Ushena. I just squeezed that in quickly, but I want to say that when Achilles came back from his visit with you all, he was really fired up with the whole new vision that he had received while being here, observing how this church functions. Realizing for the first time that a church is a lot more than a place where you go to worship God and hear the gospel, but it's a family of believers in Jesus Christ who look after each other and love each other the way you do. And he came back with a whole new vision of all the things our church needed to do to promote this in our own congregation. So he instituted our own Ask the Pastor fellowships once a month, and they've been going on ever since he has returned. And many other things. He wants the men to get together once Saturday morning every month, and wants the women to do that. And also, he's going beyond that. He's got the young people all excited about starting small groups to meet during the week. And we're getting all of that mobilized. And it's all come from them. It's all come from them because Achilles came here, and he took it all back to Nampula and stirred up all the young people who then got the whole church excited about this. So I want to tell you we appreciate this connection now, that another direct connection of our congregation with Grace Bible Chapel that's not dependent upon me. Now, I want to give a couple of stories here. I still got four stories to go, but I got 15 minutes. You've been hearing about Bela for some time, those of you who followed the ministry, and I want to tell you about his life and how it's been affecting many people. He's the one who banded together with three of my students from the Field Seminars to establish Mission Ecclesia, which is an indigenous African organization which exists for the purpose of bringing Reformation to the evangelical churches throughout Mozambique. They're publishing literature, they're starting book clubs, reading circles, and hosting conferences of their own. Now, he came from a Pentecostal background, but when he was a college student in Maputo, the capital, about 1,000 miles away from us, he began using the university computer that he was allowed to use in the library for his major in sociology, but he was so thirsty for Christian literature, which is not available in Mozambique, that he began using the computer to log on to websites where he could download and read Christian literature. And he stumbled across a Reformed website while he was doing that. And he was shocked at the things that he read and alarmed. And he notified a number of his friends and said, "We got to check into what I'm seeing on the Internet. I've never heard this before, and it doesn't sound right to me." But they had the right attitude, like the Bereans. They began checking the scriptures to see if these things were really so. And after a period of time, their alarm over these doctrines was replaced by an alarm that this is exactly what the Bible teaches, and none of them had ever heard it in any of their churches, some of them having been lifelong members in evangelical churches in Maputo. Well, Bela wasted no time. He found himself a charismatic, reformed Christian and scheduled a week of meetings in Maputo, brought him over from the United States, and they went through the book of Romans in the largest Assembly of God church in downtown Nampula. And he loved the meetings, but his leaders didn't. It wasn't what they were counting on. And he soon found himself marginalized in the churches that he was associated with. So he got his friends together, and they started a Bible school where they could teach the true doctrines of the Scripture, the God-centered gospel, as opposed to the man-centered version, and the one that highlights what God does in saving the sinner. And so they began doing that. And then pretty soon he wrote an 84-page catechism on the doctrines of grace for the Mozambican church. And by this time he graduated from college and he was working with a Christian NGO in Maputo. But their project ran out and they had to find new employment. And so he began migrating north through Mozambique. Now, I have to say that he had already come. I forgot to mention this. He had come to Nampula on a previous visit because he had heard about the Fiel conferences and he realized that we were preaching the same gospel that he was preaching in Maputo. So he came up to visit us, and he was just overwhelmed at a conference for 330, 350 church leaders where these things were the basis of what we teach, although we teach everything across the board, Christian practice and doctrine, not just the doctrines of grace. But he understood where it was all coming from. And he was very enthusiastic. So when he had to look for a job, he started coming north. And he wrote me, and I encouraged him to come on up to Nampula. And God was gracious. He found a job with us. And meanwhile, after I'd met him at the first conference he came to, he had sent me this print-ready 84-page book on the doctrines of grace for the Mozambican church. And I was very impressed with it, and Grace Missions published it. We made 500 copies through Amazon and distributed that book to all the pastors at the FIEL conference the next year. So our relationship was already growing, and I was thrilled when the Lord worked it out that he could settle down in Nampula. Now, for two reasons, he didn't plan to join our church, and we weren't trying to promote that either. The first one was that he felt he needed to get involved in an indigenous African congregation that was open to the scriptures and was willing to change in accordance with what the Bible taught and try to work with them. The second reason was because he does come from a Pentecostal background, and he has a different view on the teaching gifts being given to women, and that they should be teachers in the church, even during worship services and the like. And so for those two reasons, his association with our church was only tentative at the beginning. But they could never find an indigenous Mozambican congregation in all of Nampula that was willing to change their traditions and their practices in the light of Scripture. And so for 4 years now, he's been attending our church. He has a lovely wife who is just a wonderful Christian, like her husband. And finally, now I have to say that during the 4 years, his Pentecostalism has toned down a whole lot. And he's getting more and more comfortable with us. He used to only sing, you know, gospel songs. And now he's bought all kinds of hymn books. So whenever he has his Bible studies in the neighborhood and so forth, they sing good hymns. And this is just one of many ways in which he's changed. His doctrine's always been excellent, but he needed to see stronger flavor of Christianity, I guess, in practice. And they've come along marvelously. And his wife said to him recently, it's been 4 years now. Don't you think we should go ahead and join the church? And we've been using him in the pulpit. He's one of our best preachers, excellent Bible expositor. He's got a voracious appetite for literature, studies the Bible very carefully. He teaches one of our two adult Sunday school classes. And she said, don't you think it's time that we join the church? And he said, I think you're right. We're not going to find an indigenous congregation. We've been here 4 years. Let's join. So he'll soon be one of our church leaders. One of the reasons, in addition to all these other ministries that he's been involved with, he's a very intelligent man, and he appeals to educated Mozambicans. And here's a man that he has profoundly influenced, and I want to tell you about him because you'll be very impressed with what God is doing in the life of this young man. His name is Valoy. This picture was taken last July when he took the intensive week-long seminar in systematic theology from me, and he knocked the top out of the test. We have 15 tests and final, and he was virtually 100% all the way through. But he was formerly a Methodist and then became a Pentecostal, and then today he's in our church. But what happened, he was also from Maputo, and he's the grandson of a witch doctor and grew up in his grandparents' home, surrounded by all the fetishes and the amulets that are part of the trade, and sleeping every night in the little round hut that they use for their incantations. So he was immersed in spiritism and demonology. Even today, if he takes off his shirt, you'll see his flesh is all carved up with all the scars from the animistic rituals that were performed on his body when he was a youngster by his grandfather and his father. His father followed the teachings of his father, but his mother was Methodist and took him to church every Sunday. Now, this isn't so unusual in Mozambique because the gospel is so watered down. a Christian, so-called Christian woman will marry a witch doctor and doesn't see any problem with that. So she took him to the Methodist church every Sunday, and for Valoy, this was just another expression of a multifaceted religiosity like the Hindus, who worship all kinds of different gods. While he was in college studying philosophy, he learned through the Methodist church, way down in Maputo, 1,000 miles away, of RFL conferences through a flyer that was sent to his local church. And after he graduated, he was transferred to Nampula to begin teaching in the university there. And so he took advantage of being in Nampula to attend the FIEL conference. It was his first FIEL conference. It was the same year that Timotheo Bila came to attend his first FIEL conference. But Valoy was living in Nampula by this time. Timotheo came from the capital in Maputo. And they ran into each other. And Valoy was very much impressed with Bila, as so many people are. And very quickly they got into discussions about the gospel, and Bila was sharing with him the things that he had learned through the years. And it sparked a real interest in knowing one another. It was a couple of years later before Bila got transferred or got a job in Nampula. And so as soon as Bila was in Nampula, the two of them started going at each other again. And Valoy says their early relationship was almost combative as they wrangled back and forth on their different views of the gospel. But one of the things that Valoy learned right from the very first, he says today, was that Bila had the Bible on his side. And he could pull out all kinds of passages to support what he was saying, whereas Valoy was keenly aware that all he had were fuzzy traditions from his church that he couldn't back up anywhere from the scriptures. So he was constantly losing ground. And so he began reading the books that Bila gave him, the same sort of books that he's been using in the reading circles. And then Valoy was suddenly sent off to Portugal by the Mozambique government to get a master's in philosophy. And not wanting to interrupt his study of the Christian religion that was going on through Bila, he took 20 books with him, the sort of books that I've already described by the Puritan fathers and the Reformation fathers and so forth. And in a year and a half, he read all 20 of those books. And he came back from Portugal with a master's in philosophy, but with the doctrines of grace burning in his heart. And he quickly joined Bila's reading circle. And so they've been devouring good Christian literature ever since then. He began teaching these things in the Methodist church. And, of course, he was quickly marginalized, and they wouldn't have it. So he had to leave the church, and he was looking for a place where real Christianity is going on. So he joined a Pentecostal missionary, a group of Pentecostal missionaries, intending to help them plant a church. But last year, he was at our FIEL conference again, participated in my seminar, and he was already becoming associated with Bila in Mission Ecclesia work. And I have to cut through this so quickly. I've only got 5 minutes. But he, Heart Cry Missionary Society, which is Paul Washer's organization, came out to be with us at the last FIEL conference. I was trying to get Paul Washer to come as one of our conference speakers. And he says, I'm too busy these days. I can't go to ministries I'm not already involved in. And, of course, they're involved in supporting indigenous African movements toward reformation. And so I said, well, if that's the way I got to go, I'll tell them all about Mission Ecclesia, which fits perfectly all their criteria. And they were very interested in the work that Mission Ecclesia has been doing. I showed them the theological journals and so forth. Paul Washer speaks Spanish, so he could read these works. And he was very impressed, so he sent one of his lieutenants out to vet the conference. And you probably heard the story. He was just overwhelmed with what God is doing through Mission Ecclesia. And he went back, and Paul Washer was really excited. And so Paul Washer is coming next year to be our speaker at the FIEL conference. And they've already written a big article in their magazine about Mission Ecclesia, and also gave Grace Missions a lot of publicity in the process. And they're promising to prepare an article as soon as I give them the information on our hospital work, which I'll have all of 2 minutes to describe to you at the end. Like Bila, Valoy is a voracious reader, and Mission Ecclesia, rather Heart Cry Missionary Society, paid to send him to the Reformed Baptist Church Conference in Zambia. Excellent men doing an excellent work there. And one of the speakers, when you know it, was preaching on neo-Pentecostalism and all the dangers and all the errors wrapped up in that kind of a movement. And Valoy immediately recognized that everything that the speaker was saying was what was being practiced in the church that he was supposedly going to help to found. So he came back from that conference with several big changes in his life, and one of them was that he was leaving the Pentecostal movement once and for all, and he felt the Lord was calling him to become a pastor. And so we came back, and he was up in the air because he had no church. And I said, well, why don't you come join our church? We're not going to insist that you follow our denomination. We'll just continue to teach you the Bible. And when you're prepared to preach, we'll be happy to send you out to establish independent evangelical reformed congregations. And so he's on that track. He and his wife have asked to join the church. We've accepted him, but now they're going through the discipleship process. At the same time, he has been applying to go to get a doctorate in philosophy from Christian Seminary. He's applied to Westminster in Philadelphia. He's applied to Joel Beakey's Puritan Reformed Seminary in Grand Rapids and to a Reformed Seminary in South Africa. And he told me he wants to write his dissertation, just to give you an idea of the caliber of this man. He wants to write his dissertation on African philosophy and Christian worldview, the place of Christian philosophy in the battle for cultural rebirth and religious reform in contemporary Africa. Now that the colonists have been expelled from almost every country in Africa, the Africans are trying to get back in touch with what is true African culture, because they've been sort of in the colonial straitjacket for a long time, and now they're free to express themselves. And they're trying to find out, well, what is African culture? And part of that is, what is the true African religion? And so that debate is going on amongst the intellectuals in Africa all across. And he wanted to get the qualifications to enter that debate, being the voice of evangelical, biblical Christianity, helping them to see that there's only one God and only one creator of the Europeans, the Americans, the Asians, and the Africans, and that is the God of the Bible. And the question that we need to be asking is, what does that God say should be our culture and our religion? So he's trying to get the credentials to do that. Well, I'm very pleased. He wants to study theology, but all of his undergraduate degrees have been in philosophy. So he's had to apply for a doctorate of philosophy. Well, these seminaries are telling him, no, we want you to become a doctor of theology with a minor in philosophy. And he was happy to do that. He just thought he couldn't get in under the PhD program. And so he asked me, he said, I got to have all this literature. He asked me, I want all the books you can get me by Jonathan Edwards, by Herman Bavinck, and by Abraham Kuyper. And I had the Puritan hard drive, so I was able to download 47 volumes of Jonathan Edwards' works, two of which are over 2,000 pages each, and they're called The Works of Jonathan Edwards. So I gave him all that stuff. He said, this isn't enough. I got to have more. So he sent me a list of 190 books and treatises that he wants to get his hands on for preparing his doctoral thesis. And I've got those 190 lists, and I'd be happy to hand them out to some of you people, maybe divide it up into five pieces. And if you can find these things on Amazon, he would be very grateful. He's trying to get his hands on this material. He's going to be studying by extension. He's going to be staying in Mozambique, but studying through the internet. So this gives you the idea of the kind of people that we're getting to work with today. God is raising up reformers in Mozambique. And I remember when I first started my Bible class in 1991, I had nine men. Seven of them were teachers in the school, and hardly any of them could read. It took them forever to get from the beginning of the sentence to the period at the end. And by the time they got there, they couldn't remember what the first half of the sentence said. And now God is raising up people with this kind of preparation. Bila, who writes books, and Valoy, who also is one of the contributing writers in the magazine. And so we have wonderful things happening. Well, I got to finish up because my time is now gone. But I want to run through some pictures real quick. I trust you've been hearing. I didn't show you these pictures. Go on. This just to lead into the last minute, which I'll summarize. This is the booth at the Global Missions Health Conference that we set up every year. Belinda, Don, myself have been going for about 4 years, and other people have been attending even before that, to promote Grace Missions at the medical conference. And as you've heard from Belinda, the last November when we were there, wonderful things came together. The first one was I accepted the assignment to go back to Mozambique as a doctor, because I was praying that Kent would come along and take all of the administrative responsibility I've been carrying off my shoulders, and we could open the hospital finally with me being the surgeon. I didn't count on that after 18 years out of practice, and I need prayer about that. And then we went to the Global Missions Health Conference, and as Belinda has no doubt informed you, we got tied in with all these organizations that are there to help mission hospitals get equipped and established. So we're moving ahead on that. And I was just with one of those organizations last week, and very shortly we should be getting a 40-foot container load of medical equipment, which will be coming here, which needs to be processed and loaded into a container to be shipped to Mozambique. And we're hoping by the end of this year or early next year to begin doing operations again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ at our hospital. Now, one of the things we have to do to recruit other missionary doctors is find a place for them to live. And I want to show you these pictures, which I know you've never seen yet, at least not from me, of some wonderful land, 20 acres of land that the Lord has provided us in one of the most scenic portions of our district. And this is the land here. I've spent $6,000. I bought the land with my retirement money, and I'm trying to develop it so far with my own money because Grace Missions doesn't have it. But we've spent $6,000 putting in over 1,000 meters of roads and bridges. And I have spent $4,000 putting in a subsoil drain, which drained a marshy part of the property, which is working perfectly. And today, all the property is dry and usable for construction. And another 400 meters of drains that we've had to put in. And $27,000 has been spent putting up an 800-meter boundary wall around this 20 acres. And we got 400 meters to go, and we've bought 6-foot-high chain-link fencing to put in to finish the surrounding the property. And this is how it looks today. A lot of investment's gone into this, but it's a beautiful piece of land. And we've got projections for 18 missionary houses just on the back half of the property. I hope to subdivide later and sell the front half, which is on the main highway. Just 10 minutes away from our hospital, I want to sell the front half of the property when it's appreciated a lot and get my money back. But that's the plan. And I don't have time, actually. The time is up, 5 minutes over. But the Lord continues to provide. I had a $25,000 quote on getting electricity installed to this property. I've already installed water, $5,000 for a borehole. There's going to be $25,000 to install electricity. And that's another wonderful story. But I went to South Africa a month ago, and expecting to buy all this stuff. And I was given 3,000 meters of electrical cable. And I did pay $3,600 for a new transformer. So we're well on the way to getting not only water and all the infrastructure with the roads and everything else, but the electrical supply too. And we're soon hoping to build the first guest house. So the Lord is underway. I know sometimes you all have thought nothing's happening in Nampula because you don't hear from me. But a lot's happening, and I hope you appreciate that the Lord, I haven't been resting either, but the Lord definitely has not been resting. A lot's going on, and we're thankful for your prayers, and sorry you don't know more about it, but now you're informed, and I pray you'll be encouraged. Thank you very much. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for being a great God, for the wonderful things that you're doing all around the world, both here in San Antonio and also in far-off places like Nampula, Mozambique. And we just pray, Father, that you would continue to do wonders to exalt the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to make him known, that people everywhere would be bowing their hearts and presenting their lives on the altar to his service and to his glory. Father, we do ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.